Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Wow, Mike Jones, Monster Orchestra, doing the Penn Jillette theme. He just added that guitar in. That's Jimmy McIntosh, who I always like to, I like to build Jimmy up and then tear him down. A great, great guitar player who's playing in Mamma Mia now. Great guitar player.
Hard-hitting who plays ABBA riffs.
Who plays ABBA every night. But that's the Mike Jones Big Band doing the theme. If you dig jazz, you can go to PennRadio.com, which is the webpage for this show. PennRadio, PennRadio.com. And there it'll take you on a link directly to Jones Jazz, where you can buy some of those hip sounds from Mike Jones. Extraordinary piano player for the Penn and Teller show, and a very good friend of mine. We're on Free FM, 866-313-3733. 866-313-FREE. We might take calls today. A Moxie Crime Fighter Gillette, number one on AOL. You're not AOL, are you?
Yeah.
You are AOL?
Sure.
Really? Yeah. I thought nobody was AOL anymore.
You know what? You can sign on anywhere. It's really, really convenient. You know, if you're out in the woods somewhere, AOL has a local number. I know that seems crazy.
Number.
Well, that's, you know, I mean,
who's using dial-up?
Okay, I'm way out in the woods, my friend.
Your house, you don't have dial-up.
No, in my house, I do not.
No, but you go out in the woods sometimes.
Yes.
And then you're on
AOL.
If
you're on vacation, if you're, you know.
I don't know, AOL always seemed like the, you know. The,
you know, if you're in Kafiristan, AOL still works.
Yeah, well, I got on, I was on, way back, I was on CompuServe, and I got on in China. I was like 200 clicks out of Beijing. I love saying 200 clicks out of Beijing. I will find any excuse whatsoever in any story to say 200 clicks out of Beijing. You know, the Gmails, which come flying into us, PennRadio@gmail.com, the Gmails have been saying that people loved Monkey Tuesday.
Monkey Tuesday, they really did. Hit.
You know, I was feeling a little guilty during Monkey Tuesday that maybe we should be talking about some sort of issues.
Other than monkey issues?
But no, we don't have to. So right in. I want to tell you that we got to do the John Lennon thing. Don't let me forget that, right?
Yes.
And Monkey Tuesday. Yeah, people wrote in a few things about that. That's very, very nice. But I do want to talk about AOL. The top story on AOL was, what celebrity has the weirdest name? What celebrity child has the weirdest name? And Moxie... I think Moxie, just because a crime fighter, I think Moxie on its own wouldn't have won it hands down. But 35% of the what, 100,000 people? Yeah, 135,000 people or something? 135,000 people. First of all, that 135,000 people in this country would bother to click on what the weirdest name was is astonishing. And 35% of them said that it was Moxie Crime Fighter Gillette. And then, like, Audio Science was two, right? Audio Science. Whose kid is that? I forgot.
Oh, no. Audio Science? People thought Audio Science was
a less weird
less
name.
Weird than Moxie. Okay.
I think it's because of the crime fighter. I don't think it's because of the Moxie. But I do want to point out that the New York Times, who have done very kind things for Penn and Teller, and when they're doing kind things for Penn and Teller, I think are right. On this name thing, I think are dead wrong. And there's an underlying level of, like, this kind of white bread racism. I mean, racism is always too strong a word. It's a knee-jerk word, but I guess what I want to say is it shows they only hang out with people just like themselves. Because if you've ever, first of all, the name Moses, they were attacking not only the word Moxie, but also the name Moses. And the name Moses is a first of all, one of the greatest men of all time was named Moses. One of the men that I look up to, one of the men that is really a spiritual guide to me. I don't, of course, mean Moses of the Bible. I, of course, mean Moses Horowitz, known better as Mo Howard, the smart one of the Three Stooges. Mo Howard was named Moses. It's a very common Jewish name. And on top of that, it's a very common African-American name. A lot of guys named Moses. And if you go, if you go to any sort of outside of white bread America, people name their kids anything. And Bobby Slayton has, you know, all comics have done stuff on what African-Americans name them. You know, I was just being, Happy Jack was just telling me that Steve Dahl in Chicago had a great bit about African-Americans naming their kids after pain medication, did a whole shtick on that. And, I mean, the people have done all that stuff. But Bobby Slayton comes around and says that the punishment you should have for naming your kid a weird name is that that kid can never buy a license plate in a gift shop with his name on it. And that's true. When you were traveling with your parents as a kid, you would stop in a gift shop and they had Mike, Mikey, and Michael, right?
Oh, yeah.
And did you buy those license plates?
Never.
Never. You didn't even
I don't have one. No, I never wanted one.
My name was Penn.
Yeah.
I would sit wistfully going over and over the license plate thing, and there would be Penny. And I would say to my parents, could we just maybe cut off the Y so I could have a license plate? And they would go, I don't think that's going to look good, Penn. We'll get the tin snips. My dad would say the phrase tin snips. And we could cut it off, but it won't look good. And I would be really like heartbroken. So that is the horrible punishment I've given to Moxie, is when we go to gift shops, she won't be able to buy her name. But she buy cans of soda. Or she can also buy, you know, what this country needs is more Moxie. All those fake antique signs. I mean, you can make her room look like a Thank God It's Fridays, where you just, you know, staple garbage to the wall
fake
and call
things.
That decor. Yeah, fake old things. I was in L.A. yesterday for meetings, because that's what us showbiz people do. If you people aren't familiar with show business, one of the things you do is you go to meetings. And my friend Jesse Dillon says that every meeting you take in Hollywood takes 6 weeks off your life. It's 6 weeks of your life just gone. So we had meetings at the Cartoon Network and meetings at Showtime and stuff like that. And I flew back, and I came back, and I'm sitting in the waiting room. And I flew to L.A. because I was only going to be there a few hours. I flew with nothing. I flew with my trio and a deck of cards. Because with a deck of cards, you know, there's an old country song about the deck of cards is my prayer book. It's my Bible. It's my calendar. Well, the deck of cards is really my entertainment center. I just sit there working on obscure gambling moves, and I just practice them. So I'm sitting waiting to come back, and Chris Angel comes up. And I was in L.A. talking to the Cartoon Network.
Yes.
He was in L.A. recording with Godsmack. And therein lies the difference.
Can we hire his publicist?
Exactly. He was doing a much better job than I was. And
you were talking to the chief.
He had that cross around his neck.
Cartoon
you know,
Network.
I sometimes, it was Spacely Sprockets. It's
meeting with Spacely. Yeah.
And meeting with Spacely himself, yeah. You know, I thought that maybe he just wore that big cross around his neck to taunt me. Like
right.
Maybe when Chris was around
he
me.
Just he
was,
showed up with it for you.
But he didn't know I was there. And he showed up
sure
with his big
didn't.
Cross.
It's Chris Angel. He knows everything.
He knows everything. And the great thing about, first of all, Chris Angel, so we sat together on the plane because we're dating.
I know.
And he had a salad. And I, of course, had a pizza, which also explains a lot of our looks. And people were coming over and talking to us, you know. And Chris Angel kept going, we don't want to release this yet to the press, but I'm replacing Teller. I'm replacing Teller. And he was saying it really seriously to everyone. Now, why doesn't that get picked up by the news instead of Penn Jillette's daughter has a stupid name? But the thing that has been picked up by the news is Bob Dylan. And I know there has been a very famous radio host who is now being sued for $500 million for mentioning a satellite company on his terrestrial radio show. So I'm very hesitant to say this, but I will just say on XM, which is a satellite radio company, they have a Bob Dylan show coming out. But it's not Bob Dylan singing. It's not Bob Dylan, you know, concerts. It's not Bob Dylan playing his records. It is called the Theme Time Radio Hour, and it's Bob Dylan talking about music. Talking about music and playing like Muddy Waters and Staple Singers and doing jokes. It's the coolest thing. I just got an advanced copy of it because I am on one of the shows.
Has he got Robbie Lubin writing jokes for him?
Bob Dylan interviewed me, and I'm on the show talking for the Mother's Day show I'll be on. So now that's much better than his daughter has a stupid name and he's on Bob Dylan's show. And I'm very, very sorry. Free FM rules. Free FM is – they've been wonderful to us. They're really terrific. It just so happens they did not happen to sign Bob Dylan to have an hour-long show on Free FM. But if Bob Dylan would like an hour-long show on Free FM, at any time, I will abdicate. I will abdicate my position and give it to Bob Dylan. And, of course, Happy Jack.
Keep going?
Happy Jack is on his knees.
I will
going,
sit over here.
Please, please, please do that. Please do that.
I want to sit here and laugh at Bob Dylan's jokes. What a blast.
He's really funny. He's really cool. And the other thing he does, remember when you were in school and you had to read poetry?
Yeah.
And they would tell you not to, you know, stop at the end of every line and not to enhance the rhythm, not to dum ba da 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 ba da 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 da, but try to conceal. Like when you're doing Shakespeare, when it goes into iambic pentameter, you're not supposed to lean on it. You're supposed to let that kind of underneath and just kind of slide in. And reading poetry is a really difficult thing to do. And Bob Dylan recites song lyrics, like for You Are My Sunshine and Stormy Weather and stuff, as it's coming in. And the really cool thing is Bob Dylan really gives this kind of advanced class in how to read lyrics. He does not read it in the same meter and tempo that it's going to be in the song. He does not break it where it's going to be in the song. He really does read it conversationally and let the poetry of the words, the lyrics, just really come out naturally. It's just, if you ever had any doubt, and no one I don't think ever has, that Bob Dylan's a genius, here he is doing this show. And it's a very, very, it's a very good show, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. We have one letter about Monkey Tuesday. Let me read this, because we have a lot of letters about Monkey Tuesday. I want to read the one of the controversial one. Can I have the controversial one?
I got that right there.
Yeah. John has written us, and he's got a big confidentiality notice, because he's a school employee, I guess. he's in Ohio, and he takes very strong exception to us saying that nothing is funnier than a smoking monkey by saying nothing is funnier than penguins falling on ice. I guess he puts smoking monkeys second there. I'm inclined to disagree. And the reason I'm inclined to disagree, we talked about this before the show, because, you know, we don't just come on and do the show. We prepare. And we discuss moral issues that are going to be discussed in the show. We discuss this. And you said you were inclined to agree with them because
somewhat, yes,
because penguins are always on ice and they're always falling.
So
and that makes it funny.
The potential for comedy is constant.
And you thought that smoking monkeys was a bit contrived.
Yes.
My argument would be that smoking monkeys is contrived. That's part of what makes them funny, is that it's something you don't see in the wild.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of disagreement here on that, but it's
We also got a letter that said that, you know, Johnny Weissmuller, the Olympic swimmer, is dead. The smoking monkey is still alive. Smoking might be good for monkeys.
Might be good for monkeys. Could
we have anecdotal evidence to prove that smoking is good for monkeys.
Yeah, and, you know, but I just want to make sure that people say that although a monkey sliding on ice and falling might be funny, smoking penguin, not really very funny. I think it's because the absence of hands, maybe.
Lips.
Penguins don't have lips. They have a beak.
Lips. It's hard to hold a cigarette without lips,
yeah.
I would think.
I guess so. Maybe we should find that out. If there's anybody, maybe someone who listens to us runs like the penguin house at the zoo and could try to get us a picture of a smoking penguin, just so we could, you know, we don't like to go off half-cocked. We like to be, on the Penn Jillette show, we like to be fully cocked. That's one of the things we'd like, you know, a show that is fully cocked. We want to really think about what we're saying and say it beforehand. No half-cocked ideas. I want to also talk about the death penalty, because when you're talking about smoking monkeys, you got to go right into the death penalty. Did we get other monkey stories? Can we do another Monkey Tuesday?
We could,
I don't want to do it
now. We have a lot. We have enough.
Did people write in funny stories?
I believe they did, yes.
Funny monkey stories. So we will put aside, Happy Jack, don't you worry. We'll put aside a special. We'll have another Monkey Tuesday.
Not next week,
because next week is John Lennon Tuesday.
Right, yes.
And we got a lot of people writing in about that.
You can call him a monkey.
Yeah, I think
people running it could be monkeys.
Yeah, I think we could have, I think Mike Jones needs to come up with a special jingle for a Monkey Tuesday.
That's a good idea.
But probably a week from Tuesday will be another Monkey Tuesday. Think about
that. Every other Tuesday.
If you want to write, every other Tuesday it could be Monkey Tuesday.
Someone suggested Wombat Wednesdays.
I think, I don't know, that's what we should be talking. Maybe that's our specialty. Maybe that's our fort. So Chris Angel had the huge cross around his neck.
Right.
If you want to talk about the death penalty, I'm going to wait till calls come in, because we did the show on Bulls hit on Monday night, and we did the death penalty. We came out very much against the death penalty. And a lot of people wrote some really interesting letters about the death penalty that I want to get to. But also, if you want to call in, 866-313-FREE, that's 3733. We'll talk about the death penalty. But in the meantime, I'll tell you a little more about Chris Angel. So we're flying back together. And I realize that when you're a professional magician, the way you talk to other magicians is so much more fun than watching a magic show. Chris sat with me on the airplane told me tricks he was going to do in his show, told me how great they were, and then immediately explained to me how they were done. So there's no, he just completely short circuits everything. It was really a wonderful time. I think that should be a show. A show should be magicians sitting around talking with you, really talking. They have all these like comics. I mean, even the Aristocrats is kind of that, of comics sitting around talking the way comics really talk, or actors. If magicians sat around, it would be great, because he sits there and goes, "Oh, and Penn, the brilliant thing is, it's twins." It's twins. The flight was almost empty. We were flying Southwest, almost empty.
You still and sat right next to you?
Not right next to me. We had a seat between us. You know, like heterosexual men.
Okay.
We had a seat between us. And I was in the exit row, so I had to prove to the guy that I could speak English and was willing to open it. And the other thing was great, we had an emergency room nurse, doctor, right across the aisle. So we were talking about people shaking our hands. And how you get sick all the time. When you first get a little bit of success, you get really sick for a while because you shake hands with everybody and then you touch your nose and mouth and then you get every sort of possible flu. So Chris said it was driving him crazy because people come and go, "Hey, man, you rule," and shake his hand. He said, "They have like clammy hands and my hands feel dirty, so I wash them all the time. So now I'm carrying around this Purell stuff with me." So I said, Purell is not a sponsor. I'm just saying that. And I told him that Purell didn't kill viruses. It only killed bacteria. And he said, "Well, isn't bacteria what makes you sick?" And I said, "No, bacteria are really, really big. Bacteria is like the size of a truck. And to that, you know, virus is the size of a baseball." That exact example, that analogy, a truck to baseball is bacteria to virus, I just made up.
It's not accurate at all.
It's not accurate. I don't know. Someone will write in. If you know the difference in size in a bacteria and a virus, really do. This is an emergency. Write in. So I was explaining to him that it wasn't going to stop the bacteria. And in his life, he'd been sick like three times from bacteria, but mostly from viruses. And she chimed in. But she also said, working in the ER and the doc, that she got sick hardly ever because she thought she had small doses of this stuff. And then I told her that I had the same theory, and that's why I had sex with things I found dead on subways, because I feel that kind of low level of the sickness builds up. And she said, when I said I didn't use the word had sex with, I used a shorter word, more efficient, for things I find dead on subways. And she said, "You know, I'm an ER doctor, so pretty hard to embarrass me." And I said, "Okay, let's give it a try."
What was she thinking?
So the ER doc was blushing, and Chris Angel was laughing very hard. And nothing that I said to her could be repeated even in other words on the show. But I asked her about the little thing that swims up the... in the river, and she said they didn't see much of that at UCLA.
Okay.
And but she
it's
said
a long, uncomfortable flight, really, to get to UCLA.
And I had a good talk, because when you've got Chris Angel and an emergency room doc and you're talking, the flight goes by really, really fast. But I'd like to know, viruses are much, much smaller than bacteria.
Much smaller.
You don't have anything. I said
just
truck.
Just a couple of strands of RNA, as far as I know.
Yeah, but I said truck to baseball. That's what I care about, if I was close in truck to baseball. We'll find out during the break. I want to talk more about the death penalty. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Pennradio.com. PennRadio.com. Moxie Crime Fighter, 35% of the 100,000 people that still have AOL voted that Moxie Crime Fighter was a weirder name than all the others. Moses Horowitz is Mo Howard. Don't forget that. We'll be back. I should stop talking so they can actually play the game. Here we are on the fully cocked Penn Jillette Show on Free FM. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. I said before the break that I thought that if a bacteria was the size of a bus, a virus would be the size of a baseball. And I implored you all to correct me on this. And we got a few answers, didn't we, Michael Goodell?
We do. They all sent us to the same site, drgreen.com.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And Dr. Green says that, let's see, if a average virus were my size, a bacterium would be the size of a dinosaur over 10 feet tall, 10 stories tall.
10 stories tall. Pretty good.
Pretty close.
Pretty good. Michael Goodell, the science schmo. Is there anything else there?
He said he were the size of a bacterium, the virus would be the size of a mouse robot. And mouse, I don't know why he said mouse robot.
Mouse robot. Well, I think that's still in the ballpark. I'm pretty close there. So I explained to Chris Angel that Purell would not help. In terms of viruses, and that what he should mostly do is not stick his fingers in his eyes. And then he sat there after he shook his hand and touched his eyes for the whole time. And then the ER nurse was had her fingers up her nose. And I said, you two just don't listen at all to me, do you? I don't ever touch my face after I've shaken hands with somebody. So let's see what's in the news. I don't know if you saw the cover of the New York Times. The New York Times, who said that Moses and Moxie are bad names, but you should have names like Alex. thousands of San Franciscans, many in period costume, turned out to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the great earthquake of 1906. They're celebrating. So I guess in September 11th, 2101, we'll all dress up like debris and run around the World Trade Center. I mean, I don't understand that kind of celebration. In Vegas at...
those are the descendants of the people who lived.
You know, at Bally's, they have a show called Jubilee, which I love, which is, I think they have, I think there's like 120 topless breasts on stage at
yes,
one time.
Are.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And they have, one of the things they advertise is a really cool thing, is they have the Titanic. They, like, reenact the sinking of the Titanic.
As a dance number,
which I just don't know. I mean, Gilbert Gottfried makes a joke about the World Trade Center, 3 weeks after. He makes that joke that he made at the Friars Roast, where he said right after the September 11th, he said that he was trying to fly to L.A., but he couldn't find a flight that didn't stop at the Empire State Building. He made that joke, and people yelled out too soon. But in 50 years or 75 years, is there going to be the World Trade Center coming down as a dance number in Vegas?
A ride.
I mean, is that an okay thing to do? I just don't know how this stuff works. It still makes me feel really creepy. Even the Titanic sinking makes me feel creepy, and the celebrating the earthquake makes me feel creepy. I don't know. Women on the island of Cyprus plan to create the world's longest chain of bras, a 55.9-mile stretch that will raise breast cancer awareness, and that over 100,000 bras set the Guinness Book of World Records for bra chains. Incidentally, 100,000 bras for the world's record for bra chains. And I don't know if you know this, but the record for the longest chain of jock straps still won. That's the most they've ever done of chains of that.
How large is Cyprus? I mean,
55.9 miles of bras. It's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
That's raised my awareness.
I don't know. There you go. I think it's a really cool thing. And the other thing that I want to say, so I can't dwell on this much, so if I go too long, you shut me up, because we're mostly talking to, New York, Chicago, D.C., Baltimore, Detroit. You know, we're not really – Vegas is a market of ours, but it's not the only market. But this Sunday is the big AFAN AIDS walk, and it's a money raiser for AIDS. No, that's wrong. It's not a money raiser for AIDS. That would be immoral. We should not raise money to help. That's what the Catholic Church does, right? They raise a lot of money to tell people not to use condoms where there's AIDS around. They are pro-AIDS. This walk is anti-AIDS. And we are the grand marshals. And we are the first grand marshals to actually walk in the walk. All the other grand marshals, and I won't mention them, would be grand marshal. They'd be grand marshal, and then they would go there, make a little speech saying, I'm glad you're all walking for AFAN. Then they would, like, get in the limo and split.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Have a good time. And it's not far to walk. And we also, if you want to join the AFAN thing, do you have a web page or something?
Sure.
I need a web address.
LVFS.org.
Say it again?
LVFS.org.
LVFS.org. If you're in
Las
Vegas.
Las Vegas Free Society.
And you go there, and if you pledge, like, $100 or something, we will give you tickets to our show.
Yeah.
We'll give you tickets to our show. We'll give you T-shirts. You can come backstage. And when you do the walk, we'll do the walk right with you. There's a whole, like, Penn & Teller group. We go through there. And we, our group, the Penn & Teller group, has raised the second most money in pledges. And every year, Teller and I promise that we will at least match all the money given. So we at least double it. Although last year we tripled it because I went on stage and made the mistake of saying, I will match all the money given here. And Teller grabbed the mic and said, me too. So we ended up tripling it. So when you give money to, and this is for people in Nevada who are suffering with AIDS, Patrick will not be there. If those of you who want to meet Patrick and say, well, it's the AFAN walk, Patrick, the engineer, he's a really good guy. He engineers the Penn Jillette show. He's friends with Penn and Michael Goudeau. He will certainly be there. We can meet him and his wife and his lovely daughter. This will be terrific. No. You won't meet him because he'll be playing softball.
That's right.
He has a previous engagement to play softball.
His and, wife know, and lovely daughter are coming,
right,
however.
But he will be playing softball without a condom. He will be working for AIDS, like the Catholic Church. And he'll be, we're the Grand Marshal. So last year, it was really funny, these phony Catholic groups. Like we've talked about, the Catholic Church really does have power in this country, and they really do have a leader, the Pope. He has the hat. You can recognize him. There's all these other Catholic groups that have, like, weird names, like, you know, Catholic superstars. And it's one guy and his wife who send out, like, a ton of emails to try to scare people. Right after we did the AIDS walk, this organization that is not the Catholic Church, but this other group, starts attacking us for everything we do just because we're trying to raise money for people who are suffering with a disease. And every year around this time, they'll dig up, oh, they said this about Mother Teresa. They're not talking about Mother Teresa. They're talking about the fact that we're trying to help people who are suffering with AIDS. It's not just gays. It is mostly gays in Nevada, but that's not it. And the only reason you should really go to the AIDS walk, yes, it's wonderful to give money to other people that are suffering. Yes, we'll match the money. Yes, we'll give you tickets to our show. Yes, you get to hang out with Patrick's wife and daughter. And Patrick's wife is rather attractive, and she's very, very lonely because Patrick always playing softball, or he's here. So I would say if you're looking to have an affair with if you want to have an affair with a married woman with a young child while her husband's playing softball, come on down to the AIDS walk and hit on Patrick's wife. She'll be standing. I'm going to meet her, and I will point to her.
Can I lock this door before you finish the sentence?
But the other thing you get to do that's really fun. Are you going to be there, Happy Jack?
Yeah, he has to say yes. What do you say?
He has to say yes.
He's there.
He'll be there. He'll be there hitting on Patrick's wife. But the other thing that's fun to do besides hitting on Patrick's wife is there's protesters. And the protesters stand there, and they really have really horrible signs, like, you know, fags go to hell. It's really this pure hate stuff. And they have
the love everybody people.
Yeah, the love everybody
people. Okay, cool.
And you
just
would
to make sure we get that straight.
You would call them brave. You know, you would say it's pretty brave to go and demonstrate with this many people on the other side. But it's not bravery. It really seems to be mental illness. And they have these big signs, and they hold them up. And I always go up to them and go, you spelled persecuted wrong.
Here, I got a pen. Take a Sharpie with you.
And they will scream right in your face. Now, I want to tell you, don't worry about it. There's no conflict. You have to. There's thousands of people that want to help other people. You know, and those include, by the way, Catholics, Christians, Jews, Muslims. They'll all be there helping out other people. That just happens. Then there are the nuts. And the nuts are four or five people, and you have to go out of your way. As a matter of fact, there's a line, a very orderly line, to go over there and abuse them. Because everybody wants to yell at those people. But please come down to AFAN. And there's a lot of time. If you got something you want to talk about or hang out, you get some ideas for this show or something.
You're taking your baby with you?
I don't know if I'll be taking Moxie because Easy's on bed rest. So this is the year that Easy can't go. So possibly the softball thing is just a lie and Patrick's going to be back here to meet Easy. What do I know? But I don't know if Moxie will go by. It's awfully early in the morning. It's 9 o'clock is when it starts, which is early in the morning for me and early for Moxie. But maybe I'll bring her down. It might be nice to bring down the stroller.
Also, you know, we have email immediately from the AIDS Walk people. AFANLV.org. AFANLV.org.
What did you give? You give a random?
Well, the Free Thought Society page is also linked to it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And when I did a search, I could not find any information on afanlv.com as long as CJ. Hey, why don't you put a better link on there, CJ? Yo, dude. Make it easy to find, okay?
Okay, say it again. Say the right one again.
AFANLV.org.
AFANLV.org. AFAN. AFANLV.org. And if you're not in Vegas, but you want to help out people in Nevada who are having a tough time. Did I say Nevada?
Nevada. You said Nevada. You're out.
Nevada. Who are having a tough time with a horrible disease. You can still, they'll take your money if you're from New York or Chicago or something.
Yeah, the highest donor team so far has a $720 donation for the walk.
$700?
Yeah, that's a lot of your money coming out the mansion, isn't it?
Oh, my. 7,000, isn't it?
No, this is a single individual.
Oh, single individual. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. So raise the money. And also, if somebody out of town wants to send the money to AFAN and not do the walk, we'll certainly give you a we'll give you a list of we'll give you T-shirts. We'll give you the tickets. We'll do all the stuff. If you're coming to Vegas like in a few weeks and you want tickets to the Penn and Teller show, but you want to do that through AFAN, you can do that. AFANLV.com. We got a lot of listeners in San Francisco, a lot of listeners in San Diego. If you all want to come over, have a day, why not come and do the AIDS walk, then have yourself a nice lunch at the buffet, then go see a show Sunday night in Vegas. It'd be a good day. You still get back for work. So we'll be back after this. We still want to talk about the death penalty. We can always get that tomorrow. And we'll be back. We have a big, long hunk coming up. 866-313-FREE, 3733. Yeah, here I am, Ben Gillette, the day after Monkey Tuesday. Wednesday here in the play thing. And I want to say again, because we weren't that good at it. AFANLV.com. AFANLV.com. They give like meals to people that are suffering with AIDS.
It's org.
Or is it org or com?
I think it's org.
Org. We just won't give this. The more we give it wrong, though, the better off we are. AFANLV.org.
Yes.
And go there, and you can give them money. And really, if you want to sign up, doesn't matter what team you sign up with. You can sign up with any team here. Mm-hmm. Everybody's working together. But the Penn and Teller team will give you T-shirts and tickets to the show. And you can also walk with us. We have the coolest T-shirts if you want to walk with us. And if you're signed up with another team, you can walk with us. It's not like there's any sort of rules. You can walk along. And you can watch Teller. Teller actually had a discussion, I guess is what we'll say, with one of the protesters about it. So if you want to hear Teller talk, you could hear him swear at protesters at the AFAN thing, which
That's
was
right.
one of the big events last year. Was the
probably why he doesn't often speak in public.
Exactly.
It's just foul language.
Foul,
it's astonishing.
Foul. We got a call, don't we? I like this call because it has nothing to do with anything we've ever talked about on the show. And there's something beautiful about that. Let's take the call.
Line 5, let's talk to Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
What's up, Chris?
Yeah, it's me. Yeah, I'm from D.C., and I got a little story that I think might interest you guys. It was Halloween, and I was coming back from a party with one of my friends, and we saw a clown chasing a mime down the street. But the ironic thing about it was the mime was the only one that was making noise.
Was the mime screaming?
Yeah. We couldn't understand what he was saying, and me and my friend looked at each other. Should we, like, go and help this guy? Or is there some sort of secret clown mime war that we don't want to get involved in, you know? So...
Like the Bloods and the Crips, there's the clowns and the Mimes.
Yeah, something like that. We didn't know, you know, some sort of secret underground conspiracy of some sort that we didn't know about. But I just thought you might enjoy that story because
thank you.
I thought it was hilarious. So.
Thanks so much, Chris. Thanks,
it's like
man.
The Shakes the Clown, isn't it?
Yeah, Shakes in Bobcat Goldthwait's movie, Shakes the Clown. They're always beating up. They're always beating up mimes. But it must have been a wonderful image to see on Halloween night, to see them being chased. It's very hard to remember that clowns and mimes are human beings. Maybe because they're not. The Death Penalty Show was on Monday night. We keep up.
It's a good segue.
Wasn't it good?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're human beings, too.
Clowns
the Death Penalty Show.
Dead.
We did that on Bulls hit on Monday night. And we had a lot of reaction to it. Some of these, where's the letter that just says, I think I'll just read this.
Shut up. Another one that just says, shut up.
Shut up. We were really, we had this guy on. I'm going to go with this one first. I just changed my mind. We talked to Alan Gell on the show. We talked to him and he was on death row, to be killed. And he got off because he was innocent, and now he's just been busted. He was arrested Wednesday and charged with 31 sex offenses against a minor, a former girlfriend who was 15 at the time. The girl, now 16, is pregnant, perhaps with Gell's child. The girl's father was also charged with having sex with her and her older sister. So a few people have written in and said, boy, you guys really blew it. This guy that you made out to be some sort of hero is now up for rape. Yeah. But I don't think that changes the point about the death penalty at all. This is a really interesting thing. The news of Gell's arrest. I'm reading here. I should give some sort of credit. This is from the News Observer. Which I don't know anything about, an article by Joseph Neff. It says, the news of Gell's arrest did not surprise the family of Alan Ray Jenkins, the murder victim. This is a quote. I knew he would get in trouble again beyond a shadow of a doubt, said David Ray, Jenkins' son. They were watching him like a hawk and waiting for him to mess up. What's fascinating about that quote is when Alan Jenkins was killed. When he was killed, the murder that Alan Gell was put on death row for. When that murder took place, Alan Gell was in jail. He was on death row for a murder that was committed while he was in jail.
Yeah, and the prosecutors apparently neglected to mention that during the case.
Yeah. So the idea is that just because he's a bad guy.
He was in jail.
He was
for something
in jail.
He had done and had been convicted of.
Yeah. So, I mean, putting him on, and I hope people don't think that on Bull's hit, we dealt with him as though he were some sort of hero. We were not saying this man is innocent of everything. We were not saying this is a good guy. We were really not saying anything except he did not commit the murder and he was on death row for it. We are against capital punishment. We were on the show. We made some points. I have some people writing in here. I'd like to give people another point of view because it's pretty important. I'm a big fan of your Penn and Teller Bulls hit show and also of your radio show. I currently got Showtime and a DVR in my house, so I wouldn't miss an episode of season 3. Thank you. I own season 1 and 2 on a DVD, uncensored, which is the way it always is on Showtime. For almost every topic you discussed on Bull's Hit, I have agreed with you, while others have changed my opinion on them, like PETA and recycling episodes. Even the gun control episode opened my eyes. But the one that left a bitter taste in my mouth was the capital punishment episode. I feel it is not that capital punishment that is the problem, but the judicial system that needs fixing. I know the judicial system has made mistakes, but the same could be said for a person with a handgun. People make mistakes, and that's what the judicial system is, people. Your argument is that if one innocent person gets killed by capital punishment, then we all become murderers. Well, that's one of the points I made. It wasn't the whole point, but let's go with that. It's close enough. Hypothetically, if I buy a gun and lend it to a friend to use for recreation, but later that friend kills someone with my gun, that does not make me a murderer. Maybe a suspect, but not a murderer. If I am convicted and sent to death for it, then maybe that was Darwin's way of saying that was dumb of him for letting a person use a handgun. But that's my way of saying I put my faith in someone I trust to do the right thing with the power I give them. Feel free to rip apart this letter and let me know what I missed from that episode, as we can all learn from each other. Now the question part. Why, in your eyes, is it okay to carry a gun but not okay to have capital punishment? I am not seeing the clear line dividing the two subjects. I think the two differences are a noun and verb. I think it's actually a grammatical difference. The gun is a noun, and what you do with the gun is completely open. When you're giving someone a gun, you are not giving them the right to kill. As he says very clearly, it can be used for recreation, it can be used as a deterrent, it can be used as self-defense. With the death penalty, it is a verb. killing. You are killing someone. I guess I made it into a gerund, but you know what I mean? To kill, the verb to kill. You are saying to the government, we think you're trustworthy enough to have the power to kill. Slightly different than saying a person is trustworthy enough to have the power to handle a gun. It's the fact that it is made, it is just about killing, whereas a gun can be about other things as well. A lot of people that I really respect that are really smart wrote in saying that they liked the show we did on the death penalty, but they disagree. I have a very nut position on this, a position that very few people agree with me on. I am not in favor of retribution or punishment. I do not want people punished. I want them to stop doing what they're doing that's wrong. Now, people say to me, what if someone hurt your daughter? What if someone hurt your wife? Wouldn't you feel rage? Wouldn't you want them dead? And the answer is absolutely 100% yes. The guy who we had on, Pauly Klass's father, who spoke of the tremendous pain, I will never pretend to be able to imagine his pain for a second. I can't even come close to pretending to imagine how much pain he's in. And for him to think that everyone involved with the hurting and killing of his daughter should be killed makes perfect human sense to me. I have nothing but compassion, empathy, and sympathy for that point of view. But I think we as a society should be bigger than that. And if something were to happen to my family and I were filled with rage and said that they should die, I think that society should say, well, let's catch them, let's stop them from ever doing anything like this again. But the punishment and the retribution would not make it better. It doesn't bring her back. It doesn't help. You know, Lou Reed says, and I'm a huge Lou Reed fan, Lou Reed says an eye for an eye is elemental when he talks about Andy Warhol being shot. I have a great deal. My heart goes out to that point of view. But I think society should be better than that. It does not save us money. It does not deter crime. It does not scare people who are going to do a crime. If you are going to go, if you're going to cross society's lines that much and kill somebody, do a capital offense, there is no sort. What you're asking is for a person who is crazy enough to do something as horrible as these people do to all of a sudden be sane enough to say, but I don't want to be killed for it. I think lock them up as cheaply and efficiently as possible, make laws that they never get out. But you know, on my computer, I have a trash thing down in the corner. And I pull something down there and I put it in trash and it's gone. But on the outside chance that it wasn't supposed to be in trash, I can open up that file, I can open up that folder, I can find it, I can pull it out of trash, and I can have it again. On the outside chance, the one in a million chance, pick a number, I don't care what the number is, that we've put someone on death row by accident, that we have made a mistake. And with the DNA testing that's coming up, we will find out soon that we have done that. If we find that out, we can at least go to that dark, dank, dirty cell somewhere where they're being treated badly. We can go to them and say, well, you didn't do it. At least you weren't put to death. The argument that people on death row are bad people anyway, like the Alan Gell argument that he's going to go out and rape later, even though he was completely innocent of that, I can't go for. I can't just say you can find bad people and put them in jail because they're going to probably do something. So the death penalty, you know, I'm all for you guys. I understand the emotion. My feeling is just that human life is so precious, human life is so important, that we have to take every possible step we can to protect it. And tomorrow, we will say something funny for a while. But I'm sorry, I just want to talk about that. We had a few letters, and they were very heartfelt, and I wanted to address them. Hey, by the way, the letter I just read from Stephen, was that ripping you apart, bro? Was that ripping you apart? we'll be back tomorrow. This is Penn Jillette. You know, take care of each other.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.